tapasahyeramanena
vidyaya chatma samsthaya
vibriddha vigyano balo
nyapadvayum sahambasa. Tapasa, by penance,
he certainly, iramanena,
increasing,
vidyaya,
by transcendental knowledge,
cha also, atma, self,
samsthaya, situated in the self.
Vivriddha, matured.
Vijnana,
practical knowledge.
Bala, power.
Nyapata, drink.
Vayum, the wind.
Sahambasa,
along with the water.
Translation.
Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge, and thus he drank the wind completely along with the water. Purport. Lord Brahma's struggle for existence is a personal example of the continued fight between the living entities in the material world and their illusory energy called Maya. Beginning from Brahma down to this age, the living entities are struggling with the forces of material nature. By advanced knowledge in science and transcendental realization, one can try to control the material energy, which works against our endeavors. And in the modern age, advanced materialistic scientific knowledge and penance have played very wonderful roles in controlling the power of the material energy. Such control of the material energy, however, can be most successfully carried out if one is a soul surrendered on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carries out his order in the spirit of loving transcendental service. It's a very interesting point here of what is practical. Here we get a definition of practicalness, which is everyone should listen to very carefully. Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge. This modern theory put forward by devotees that Vedic is not practical, then we see here, means that that person who is saying that has not practiced penance or has no transcendental knowledge of self-realization, therefore they're not mature, because if they were mature, they would know how to practically apply it. That's what the verse is saying, like or not. And what's even more fun is Prabhupada here is giving the materialist credit for following this formula. It's an eternal formula. And Prabhupada gives the modern materialist credit for having followed it. Because through, penance and scientific knowledge, because the point is you have to have this scientific knowledge, this metaphysical knowledge, that's what makes the practical knowledge work. Right? It's the metaphysical that makes it work. So here, they have scientific knowledge, and by that, through their penance, means they keep at it for long, long years. Someone is trying to do something, they work very hard. Like in this, man who, not the Uber, who's the Dyson? There's a thing called Dyson. It's a kind of vacuum cleaner that doesn't use a internal bag, right, to catch all the dust. It itself is the bag. So it's a very sophisticated technical machine. The guy made over 5,000 prototypes before he came up with the one that worked, that he could produce it on the market. That is penance. Right? And to do that, he had to have knowledge of the formulas of how wind and dust work. Then he was successful. Right? But Prabhupada points out is that therefore they do wonderful things in controlling the material energy. Right? They make planes fly, cars go on the ground, you know, people, you know, get their nose cleaned. So many things that they're able to do. But in this, he says, but a soul surrendered unto the Lord then is the most successful. Okay? This is very important. He doesn't put the karmis in one category here and the devotees in another, like devotees try to do in this practical sense. So that means that those who are saying that the Vedic knowledge is not practical are in a category unto themselves. They're not with the devotees. They're not with the materialists. They're in their own made-up, superficial, speculative category that will get nothing. Any success they're getting is because they're following this formula. If you're getting success, you're following this formula. You're not getting success, you're not following this formula. Very simple. Penance with knowledge gives you the realization how to practically apply something. No ifs, no ands, no buts. This is it. This is the formula. Right? Few sentence here, and a little bit of a purport to explain it, and all your self-help books, all of them, the whole rack of them, has been explained. You have this faith, you will be practical in your devotional service. You will go back to God. If you don't have this faith, you'll have to be here long enough until you figure out that simply materialistic endeavor isn't complete enough, and it's not separate from the formulas given in devotional service. You have to have this faith. Faith is the basis of devotional service. You don't have the faith, you don't have very strong devotional service. That's it. It doesn't matter what you were, it's what you are right now. Right? Things happen in the present. So it's what you are right now, what is your faith right now, that makes how much of a devotee you are. Anything you've done in the past that had had great faith, that will never be lost. But unless you have faith right now, you can't access it. Right? I may have $1 million in the bank. If I have no passbook, I cannot access that money. Say what you like. Call yourself a millionaire. Okay, hey, why don't you buy me a samosa? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't access the money. That's reality. Problem is, reality hurts. Right? We develop this whole superficial, Western, very sophisticated, very professional attitude that has nothing to do with reality. The success one gets, fine. That's great. If you're successful, you have to be following this Vedic principle. There's no question of being successful without following it. And Prabhupada is taking gross materialists, and yeah, he says they're doing wonderful things in controlling material nature. And he's talking about the demons. They're doing it. Why? Because they follow the Vedic formula. But what's the use of just controlling material nature if you don't get Krishna? So therefore the devotee knows means, how you say, this technical knowledge. So, advanced knowledge and science and transcendental realization, one can try to control the material energy. Like, try, of course, because you can only control a little bit. We think, oh, I'm doing so much. My car is going down the road. I haven't hit a tree yet. So I'm doing pretty good. But the material nature is 1/4 of the material manifestation. I mean, the cosmic manifestation, 1/4. Therefore, we can try. But he does give them credit that they have tried and they have gotten something. Right? We don't say the materialists have gotten nothing. We say because it's not connected to Krishna, it's not eternal. Therefore, technically, they themselves, as the particular individual soul, have gotten nothing. But not that they haven't done something. Right? This is the platform of broad-minded. Right? This platform of, oh, all the nonsense karmis, or no, they're doing great, and the devotees, it's in the middle. It's the middle that is devotional service. You see, you give credit where credit is due. We see, when Arjuna and the Pandavas went out to get the dakshin for Dronacharya, they went and attacked Drupad's kingdom, Maharaj Drupad. And when they were fighting so wonderfully, Arjuna was doing amazing feats, and Bhima is doing amazing things. The enemy, Draupad's own, soldiers generals, they're all applauding. This is something great. They've done something very special here. That's the Vedic culture. You appreciate what's real. If it works, it's Vedic. If it doesn't work, it means it's not Vedic. This idea of modern Vedic, no. Modern means it's not Vedic, that's all. But within the modern, because one is a human being, one is acting out of habit, right? Then what habits you perform from previous samskaras that get you a proper result, it gets you a result because it's Vedic. But if you don't understand the knowledge behind it, you'll lose it. Right? As every materialist does. He's going along great, and then he loses it all, because he doesn't actually know what he's doing. So to some degree they have knowledge, some degree they have penance. But the devotee is more successful, because he knows where that knowledge is from, where it's supposed to go to. He does great. So that's very, very important idea, because I personally am sick and tired of hearing devotees talk about being quote-unquote practical, and that means nothing to do with the Vedic paradigm. That is the most foolish, unthought-out, immature statement that anyone can make, and I don't care if they're 50 years old and they got millions of dollars. I don't care. Because according to this book here, they're foolish. And if they can't accept that, then they're really foolish. Really foolish. Because we're talking about going back to Godhead here, not becoming successful material. What do you need millions for? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I drive to Calcutta in a Sumo. Okay? Someone else goes in some other fancier car. We both get there. Nice, you have it, you have the facility. That's not the problem. Having $1 million is not the problem, but thinking that you have $1 million, you're special, that's the problem. Because special is following Krishna's direction. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. That's special. Everything else is just another face in the crowd. Another face. Just another one gone. We went by one shop and we see all these faces on the wall of, actors of yesteryear. You know, who was the great, big hero and heroine of the 40s and 50s and 60s and... They're all gone. Another face. Where are they now? So there have been professionals, there have been people like that. There's always been. Right? A professional means a shudra. They've always been professional shudras. Right? Professional is not something glorious. It's better, yes, than a skilled labor or unskilled labor. Right? But it's not something special. Being a devotee is special. Right? So knowledge, you can have knowledge, but devotional knowledge is the best. You can be successful material, yes, great, but being successful spiritually is even better. Both take penance, both take knowledge, both then through maturity get their results. But if you're going to spend so much time and effort, what do you want to get at the end of the day? Because when you're old and decrepit and sitting there in your chair, out in the sun, right? Just before you keel over dead, who cares? Who's going to remember? Right? Who's going to remember? No one. I mean, no one. Right? People remember Hitler. Why? Because he affected millions of people's lives. That's about it. Caesar. Right? Stalin. You know? A couple others. But someone who's done something beneficial, do we even remember their names? Right? So if you think about it, no one's going to remember that big work, that important work. That's why Bhagavatam talks about that position, being on the deathbed, and everybody's sitting around and, you know, smiling like this and that. But actually just thinking, when's all this going to be over? We can just move on with our life. That's what they're thinking. Somebody's thinking, when do I get the money? You know, hey, when can I go back to my computer games? Someone else is thinking, well, this guy's gone, now I got that one lined up. You know, somebody's thinking something. But through your vision, all there, making the right faces, right sounds, nodding their head in the right way. That's the reality. That's why Bhagavatam gives it. This, Bhagavatam, this is reality. Anything other than this is illusion. And if you think different than that, you are an illusion. Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Siddhanta makes this very clear. Right? This is knowledge. This is reality. Anything else is illusion. So, just summing up there then, main thing is that we have to see is that you can't separate the philosophy from its application. Right? Previously it makes this point, Krishna's making this point, that doesn't make the point. I am the super soul of every living entity, I am the supreme director and the dearest, right? I am the super soul, Sambandha, I am the director, Abhideya, I am the dearest, Prayojana. There's nothing other than Krishna. There's nothing other than this. It's Maya to think there is something other than this. Therefore, the great personalities, which are richer than anybody, more powerful than anybody, more beautiful than anybody, more renounced than anybody that's there now, followed these teachings and got that result. And nowadays, what do you get? Sit there with a little hanky for your clothes just before you die, and nobody cares? That's the whole point. You're a devotee, then people care. But you have to be a devotee. No one wants to hear about your realism. Right? They don't want to hear. They want to hear about your devotional realization. That's why we come together. Right? We don't come here for something else. And anything must have its practical application. It's a Western misnomer that Veda, this is just philosophy and it's impractical. That's because, unfortunately, most people don't apply their intelligence in their life. You're not supposed to. Right? It means if you want to be a good American, you're not supposed to think too much. Right? You're supposed to just focus on your job, do it nicely. But don't think, why am I doing this job? What is the use of this job? What's the use of my life? You know, what's the use of this company? What's happening? You're not supposed to think that. If you're in charge of the company, yes, okay. Right? One big politician, I mean big politician. He was up top government. I think he even became a prime minister, but he was favorable to devotees. He said there's only two kinds of people. There's the common person who is manipulated, and there are the people who understand how it works, and they are doing manipulating. There's nothing in between. You're either managed by the system or you're running the system. Right? And this is the guy who runs the country. This isn't a guy who's a business person who writes a book, how to get some money. right? We're talking big management, way above all the other guys, right? We're not talking, you know, your cubbies and your this one and that one. We're talking guys that run countries. Now that's pretty practical. And this is what they are saying. Right? And this guy appreciates the devotees because they think. But they're out of the loop. Right? They're not trying to manage the system. They're not trying to be part of the system. They're just trying to go back to Godhead. And he appreciates that. So one has to understand is that this is the most practical, down-to-earth thing that there is. And the practical application is right here. And if you don't see it, it's because you're not performing penance and you don't have knowledge. It's that simple. One may say that's pretty simplistic, but that's life. Things are pretty simple. Right? If you look at it, boy can't function, he's attached to girl, right? Family can't function, they don't have money, right? This one can't function because that, it's very simple. Its application is very complex, but the point is simple. So the thing is these points given by the Shastra are very simple. They are scientific formulas that anybody can use, but it means you have to use it, you have to have, how do you say? Penance. You have to keep applying it because obstacles will come up. That's why I came here. Brahma's there, he's supposed to create, and then bang, out of nowhere, this big storm and the wind and the water. And so he has to overcome that. So if Brahma has to put up with these things, then why not us? So that means penance. Knowledge and penance gives you maturity. That means you can practically apply it. Simple formula. No penance, no knowledge, no maturity means no practicalness. So then what do you have to do? You have to get it from someone else who's already done it. The guys that write the books did do the penance. They do have the knowledge. Therefore they're getting something. Right? You bought their book. They got something. Right? So the point is but you what penance you went through? Right? Book cost you $3.95. What penance? Great penance, $3.95. That was a pretty good penance. Right? That guy spent 10 years, 20 years of his life trying to figure out what he's put into that book. Right? And so now you're just going to read the book and Haribol, then you're going to be great at it. I had to watch, amusingly, a person who was a teacher for one of these management institutions, self-help management institutions, that he was one of the teachers that taught the teachers. He was so well situated in this institution. And amazingly enough, he was also one of our temple presidents. And he was such a bad manager as a temple president that the devotees themselves rose up against him and asked him to step down from his position. And he had to leave that position and he went basically to the opposite side of the planet, where he took up and continues his lifestyle being paid for teaching teachers of this. That's how practical this stuff is. Right? That's the point. So seven habits of successful people, not of the people who are reading the book. The successful people aren't reading the book, they're doing it. That's why it's a habit. Yeah, they're doing it. The other's reading it. There's points that are there. But the point is success comes from endeavor. Success comes from knowledge. That gives success. Nothing else. You have that, you will be successful in whatever it is. That's why devotees are successful. Right? We may say it's not. But what do you call every hippie on the planet in the 60s loved the Beatles? Some devotees who were hippies themselves before, then they finally got them into some clothes and they sent them off to London after they'd been devotees for 3-6 months? And where did they stay? In whose house? The Beatles' house. Put up by them. Respected by them. So, on the material platform, would you call that successful or not? So, but it's just gone by. So how could they do that after 3 to 6 months in the moment? Now after 30 years in the moment, we can't even get them to answer the door. But that's after 3 to 6 months. You go out, you open a temple, open a yatra, go to a country you've never been before, you don't speak the language, you know nobody, you have no money, you plunk yourself down, you got a temple. Right? Because of the austerity and because of the faith in this knowledge, they developed a maturity that the top people on the planet respected. Look at it that way. Otherwise, you can go down your path fooling yourself for many lifetimes that you're doing a great job by being quote-unquote practical. And that's reality. It's not political. This statement is absolutely politically incorrect. We're not taking into consideration anyone's feelings here. All we're trying to do is say, this is reality. You accept this, then you can do something with your quote-unquote reality. If you don't accept that quote-unquote reality, will keep you here in your quote-unquote reality for many, many births. That simple. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Many of the things that the modern people think that they are doing, actually they are very bad. Even for us, even taking baths, bad, brushing teeth, bad. Nobody else has teach anything like that.
The point is being made that so many things that people do are actually Vedic, like taking a bath, brushing your teeth. Where does it say in the Bible, the New Testament, to brush your teeth? Where does it say? Or to take a bath? Okay, to take a bath, you're baptized. Okay, great. Then, I think that's how it worked for, I think it was Queen Elizabeth the First. She had a bath when she was born, and she had a bath after she was dead. In between, and there was with milk. And in between was a lot of expensive perfume. Right? Like that. But if you think about it, anything you do, right? Balanced diet, where does that come from? Growing things natural, being organic, where does it come from? Why do these things work? Taking care of your workers, right? It's a Vedic principle, right? You take care, the dvijas take care of the shudras. Right? Respecting authority, where, that works. Where does it come from? If you think about it, anything that the karmis do that is successful is because it's a Vedic principle. And anything where they go wrong is because it's not. So it's a very good point. But somehow we get this idea, oh, it's better like this and that, simply because their habits, their cultural habits, are at least seemingly less abrasive. Seemingly less abrasive. But you can only have that vision if you don't understand what's human nature. Because when there's attachment, then that feeling of possession generates, a feeling of closeness where you drop formalities. Anyone who doesn't know this will not be successful in the material world, in relationships. Money, maybe, but relationships, no. Right. So having understood that, then the devotees they identify with the community of devotees. So therefore, when they're having a bad hair day, it is rough. Right? And nowadays, it used to be, there was no bad hair day as much. You know, people had shaved heads, you know, it's like not much hair to go bad. Nowadays, it's a little different, right? So, does that make sense? So the karmis, they don't know you from Adam. Don't really care. But they have a value of themselves that I am a nice person. I deal nicely with people. That's my identity. That's why they're nice with you. Right? You say, oh, the karmis are nicer. Try walking down some of the other streets on the block and see if they're nicer. Right? You're the wrong color. This is our block. Right? Crackers on that side. You know? Like that. Try it. Right? The enemy is, devotees might yell and scream at you, make some comments. They're not going to shoot you or cut you up into little pieces. But those guys will. Right? So you're moving in this little small circle and you go, oh, here's a few nice karmis. Oh, they're greater than devotees. But try moving in a little bit bigger circle, right? We're a cosmopolitan society. We got devotees from every background, every social status, every community. Try moving in those areas and then tell me they're all great. Right? In India, the power goes off. Right? You're in the market, the power goes off. Everyone sits there until somebody lights a candle or turns on the light. Nothing gets stolen. New York City, the power went off for 30 minutes, $1 billion of damage. And that was back in the 70s. $1 billion then. And now you tell me who's good. Indians stand in line for their petrol for hours, sitting there, yak with each other. Get annoyed, they yak with each other. Americans shoot each other with guns. They actually do. Someone cut in, I got to get to the office, or this or that. Someone pulls out a gun and shoots them. Now you tell me these guys are better than the devotees. Go ahead. With a straight face, pull it off. Try it. Right? If you're good at poker, then you'll be able to do it. Right? Or you went to acting school? Yes. Otherwise, I think you're going to have a big problem here. Big problem. So reality is something what Prabhupada gave us. That's reality. Anything else is not reality. And the farther you go away from that, the less real it is, and the less it's getting good. The more we develop all these modern concepts of community, I don't see the community developing. I see it falling apart more and more and more. That's the reality. Not that it's coming together. So therefore, going back to the point, is that anything that does work in the karmic society is only because they are following a Vedic principle. They don't know it, that's why they are not consistent at it. Right? They're not consistent at it. But you can only be consistent if you have knowledge. Okay. Anything else?
Yes. Same for this, not to make a point, that actually people who talk like this, that be practical and this and that, actually those people are a kind of uninformed, because if you go on the internet and check for websites which are against media, against that MTV, music TV, and against all this Barbies, all these things, whatever they show, then you can actually see...
The problem with Barbies.
Yes. Okay. Then you can see that actually there's many websites which are fighting against big time fighting.
Even the materialists understand this.
Life insurance companies, they're fighting against life insurance companies. Actually,
credit
they
card
say
companies.
That, I just saw a video not so long ago that it say that people in America are less safe than in any of the other worlds, including Zambia and other kinds of African countries. And they say that the childbirth rate, actually, if you really look, not what is in the papers, but actually really check, much higher childbirth after birth death is much higher in America. Why? Because people can afford insurance, and if they want to get insurance, then they have a long list what kind of disease they have to have to be able to get insurance. And if they have no insurance, nobody deals with them, basically. And if they want to get medicine beyond the insurance, then it costs them big money, huge amount of money, talking about thousands of dollars. And then, if they just cross the border, either to north or south, like Mexico or Cuba or something like in south, or if you go to
Panama,
or if you go from what is called Canada north, everything is free.
Yeah, free or cheaper, yes.
It's free.
The same medicine, I think, costs a few cents down in Panama, and costs, I forget, hundreds and hundreds.
And this is what the whole poor society is functioning. Actually, people really look into a little research on it. Then you can see that what they say is a
mess. Okay, so point is, but in this, we don't want to start conspiracy things, because it's always been going on, right? So that's been going on since time immemorial, right? There was a conspiracy and they killed Caesar, right? So it's always been there. Don't worry about that. The point is that don't put your faith in materialist and materialistic culture. Put your faith in Krishna. That's the point. Is that one can go on with so many things here. So when we say practical, we're meaning practical that's opposed to the Vedic version. We're being practical meaning we don't get into this devotional aspect of applying because it's not practical. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about someone's being very mental or someone won't apply themselves, they just think they'll sit back and it'll all just happen. I'm not talking about that lack of practicality. Right? I'm talking about practicality that means to be practical, you have to be opposed to the Vedic version. That's just to define, what is that called, a caveat, that what we were meaning before. Because one has to be practical. If devotional service isn't applied practically, how you get the full benefit? Right? But to do that means it's done with knowledge and austerity. Austerity means proper performance of prescribed duties. Right? That's the meaning. It doesn't mean standing on your toes or something like that. It means proper performance of your prescribed duties. That is your penance. Right? That's austerity.
Something that is, I cannot understand, like you said. Lord Krishna said, I am the compiler of the Veda. And through the Veda, I am to be known. So if he is the Veda, how we can reject, we are rejecting basically Krishna.
Yeah, how can we reject? Basically, rejection of it's not an intellectual thing, it's an emotional thing. Because the living entity wants to feel secure. And in that security then generates happiness, right? That security means then you feel comfortable. If there's been anything but why someone else has done a misapplication of the Vedic or a misunderstanding of someone else's application, then the tendency, well, this is Vedic or non-Vedic, then one becomes insecure. When you're insecure, then the tendency is to be opposed to whatever one has perceived to have generated that insecurity. So it's actually an emotional problem. It's not intellectual, actually. That's why, even though we speak strongly on it, we're speaking strongly because it's an emotional point. We're trying to get to the emotion. Intellectually, it's a very simple point. You know, if it's according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then it works. It's not according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra, it will have problems. Right? Like that. So that's the principle. And if, yeah, that's all. So it's most of these things are emotional issues, social issues, that's all, generated from a misapplication of some principle. Even though you're saying it's Vedic, but your application of it wasn't. Because if you don't know the science, how will you know the art? Right? If you've learned it by tradition, your family deals nicely with each other, is a cultured family, by habit you'll pick that up, by association. You're doing it, but you may not be able to explain the science or the art. So when you take up this culture, which is a seemingly a new thing for us, then without knowing the science, sometimes our application of the art is way off and gives a lot of trouble. But we'll, due to our ego, claim it's Vedic. You know, to give ourselves an identity. Because you need an identity to be secure. Right? So then you have your pro-Vedic and you have your, you know, liberals. And they both stand strong on that point because they need an identity to survive as an individual. But the point is we're devotees. So therefore, we apply the Vedic to time, place, and circumstance. Right? That's then works. Then it's nice. Otherwise, one won't get a great result. One can't. Like that. Okay, so time is up now. We'll end here. Well, if anyone has any questions, we'll continue after 5 minutes. Gantaraj Shumad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki, Sanatana Bhaktivinoda.